Hallelujah. Oh, let's just stand and praise Him. Let's praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sure appreciate that this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many believes that Christ defeated the devil?
Amen.
All right, now let me ask you this. Which enemy didn't he beat? You got them all, right? Who's your worst enemy? And we'll look at him and say, man, how am I going to overcome that guy? Did Christ beat him already or not?
Glory.
Hallelujah. So when he starts looking big and tough, you just say, no, sir, buddy, you're a chump. Christ already beat him. He already beat you and all your lust and all that. I don't have to worry about that. Christ defeated you. Glory to God. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. Happy resurrection. What a resurrection that was. But what a resurrection this is. You know I know the word. Come on now. I'm not one of those preachers who steals quotes and don't let you know where they came from. The prophet of God said that one. Hallelujah. It's the truth. 2 Peter 1. Excuse me. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Let's turn to 2 John for a minute. Or let me make sure I got that right. Something came to me. 1 John. 1 John 2. First John 2, let's go to verse 25. Well, verse 20, and then I'll skip down to 25. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I like to preach. We're still talking about the original word has returned. And I'd like to preach this morning, this afternoon, knowing God is the only knowledge. Knowing God is the only knowledge.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Praise His name.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Respect to God's presence, every head bowed. If you have a need you'd like to lift up to Him as we approach His word now. God bless each one. He knows what's behind your hand in your heart. Believe it now. Let's pray together in faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints together. Lord, as we just read of the anointing that abides with us, we're grateful to know that that's true. And even this afternoon, we feel it here, Lord, and you've allowed us to feel your presence. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. There's so many entertainments in this world. There's so many things we could have been doing. There's so many churches we could have gone to. But you let us here today, Father. And the anointing's here to deliver us from the yokes of bondage. You didn't die on the cross and raise again to just go to heaven and leave us to our own. But you raised again because we were in you. And you said you'd be with us till the end of the world. And we believe it today, Father. So we come not to a man, not to a church, but to you, Lord, that the Word of God might come off the pages. And you might speak it to us, Lord, in power and demonstration. May you destroy every doubt that's coming to the Christian's mind today. Any confusion of the enemy. May the strongholds of the devil be poured down by the Word of God today. May you heal the sick. May you save the lost. May you encourage those that are discouraged. And those that have empty hearts, fill them to overflowing. Commit this service into your hands. Lord, we step aside as a congregation and we give you the preeminence. Say, Lord, do with us as you please today. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. What a resurrection this is today. How I appreciated Friday night. If those of you that were here spoke on coming to Christ, the person, not the thought, not the doctrine, but coming to Christ, the person, and realizing that when we approach the Word of God, I pray you still have that revelation coming to this service today, that I didn't come to hear from Brother Andrew, that I didn't come to just associate in a church and be a fellow, but I'm here to meet a person. I'm here to talk to someone that has opened my ears, that I can hear him speak back. And we've been talking about building this image up, and I believe it goes hand in hand with the resurrection. I'm here to tell you right now, there'd be no pyramid right here without a resurrection. There'd be no foundation laid without a resurrection. So don't act like I ain't preaching on Easter this morning. I'm preaching on Easter because I'm not talking just to a God that died and raised again. I'm talking to the purchase that God used that blood to get, which is you and I, which is our souls that were dead in sin and trespasses. We are not sinners anymore. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. 2 Peter. So let me go back there real quick. When building up this image, how many wants to be like Christ? Amen. And before, even in denomination and things, how we tried to do that, how we tried to figure out how we're going to do that, too many times it even creeps into this message that we're somehow going to do this. Has nothing to do with you and I doing it. It's that somebody already did it. And all it's waiting on is for us to get this foundation laid just right. And this faith that God put in us when we were before the foundation of the world. But when He gave us the Holy Ghost, He quickened it. And He gave it life that it would grow and build this house that God would dwell in. That's right. Without reserve, without question, the same God that was in Christ that healed the sick and raised the dead, the same deposit of faith that was put in Him is what was given to us. The same anointing that told Christ all things. Look, the man, He said, who touched me? The man said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But God said, it is finished. But God said, she shall be healed. Your faith has saved thee. That's right. We're not quite oneness now. Don't go that route. Christ was both man and God. Absolutely. The same. It wasn't a Superman. He was proving that if you would have faith in the Word like God did, you could walk a Christian life. Even in the midst of Satan's Eden. And He proved it. He was tempted at all points like you and I. Yet He never sinned. To prove to the devil you thought you won it. I'm here to show you never had a chance. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm talking to a group today that has been born again. I'm talking to a group that's received this faith, not by any works of the law, not by anything you've done or said, but through the righteousness of God. Amen. Have you received this faith?
Amen. Amen.
If you're not in that category today, I've got one message for you. Get in it. You can't build this statue if you're dead. You can't build this living God's dwelling place if all you've got is dead articles. If all you are is religious and you ain't found Jesus Christ and ain't fell in love with a person, but you just go through rituals until you feel good. This message is not for you today. It's for those that know the Savior. Amen. Those that have received Him through His righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge about God. Right. Not details that you figured out because you're smarter than everybody else. Not the gift of wisdom that everybody thinks they got because they can read a few quotes. I'm talking about God's wisdom. The only way you ever have any sort of knowledge that God cares about is if you have His thoughts.
Amen.
Because every other thought is not real. Listen to me now. You might think, well, I know I had this bad thought. No. God's thoughts are more real than this pulpit's here today. God's thoughts are more real than this Bible printed form right here. You know why? There's more space between the atoms than there is actual atoms. There's more air. And what is air? We don't know. We don't understand any of these things. But the knowledge of God is true. God is right. God always existed. And all of His thoughts are the only things that are eternal.
Amen.
God has allowed things to exist in time that will not make it to eternity.
That's right.
There are temporal thoughts of God. There are things that are allowed to exist on this earth. Don't tell me that anything can be created without God allowing it. See, that's the problem we run into, is how did the devil get here? God created him, but He didn't create him like He did you and I. He didn't give the devil properties He put in the bride of Christ. He actually didn't even give the devil properties that He put in this earth. That's right, because this earth's eternal. We're going to live on it. That's right. It ain't going to perish. Heaven and earth will pass away. That means be changed. But it's only going back to what it was before sin got here. See, Peter is telling them, I want grace and peace to be multiplied unto you. That means not just a little trickle that you feel good for a day or two. I'm talking about grace. That you know I'm in the Beloved. That I'm not trying to gain God's favor, but I have it. Come on now. And the only reason I serve Him, listen, this should be the only reason you serve God, is because you love Him.
Amen.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Turn to Hosea with me, if you can find that towards the end of the Old Testament there. Hosea, Joel, Amos. I think it's actually right after Daniel. That was a little song I remembered there. Yep, right after the book of Daniel, Hosea chapter 4. Am I extra loud today or something? Sorry. You want me to turn this down? All right, that's fine. I'm not going to preach any quieter, but I think sometimes the recording gets capped off at the top, so I'm trying to do my best here. Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And all three of those things he just said go hand in hand.
Yeah.
If there was knowledge of God in the land, there would be truth.
Yeah.
If there was knowledge of God in the land, there would be mercy. And I'm here to tell you, church, if our churches really had the knowledge of God, there would be truth in the churches. There wouldn't be this gray area that we have to deal with so much. You know, is this wrong or right? What'd the prophet say? What the Word of God say? And yet we make excuses because we're here in Laodicea and we just can't have the revival. I understand we can't have the revival of 50 years ago. We're here to have the bride's revival.
Amen.
And it won't be some big showy thing that everyone notices and everybody pats you on the back and says, that's great. That was first pull. Even second pull, you still had a little bit of a crowd. You had about 70 ministers left in Jesus' ministry. But when it came third pull, only the elect were still standing there. And I've gotten to the point here, I've built up enough knowledge of God to get to where I only care what He thinks. And it doesn't matter if there ain't one person left sitting in this building, I'm going to say what makes the Lord happy, which is His Word, which is without compromise. And if it cuts and divides, the ones that will be left, I'll know, are the elect. Why? You can't drive off the elect of God. They sold out. You said they got all, they understand it all. No, they have the knowledge of God. What is that? I just believe it. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to be able to put it together for you. All I know is something on the inside. My faith has produced the knowledge that whatever God said is right. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I say. Even this, like, this little, what's the word I want to use? This passive approach to the devil.
Sure.
There's no knowledge of God in that. And you know, a lot of times people that's actually got faith and don't put up with the devil offend those who don't have any faith and put up with the devil all the time.
Right.
I've learned that a lot, and I'm just going to preach if that's all right this morning.
Right.
I don't like to have a passive approach about sickness. I don't like to have a passive approach about missing church. I don't like to have a passive approach about not taking communion and not paying your tithes and not doing the things that we know we ought to do and not cleaning up. We're not here to take a passive approach, because the second you do that, you let down the guards. And then the devil comes in and will reason you all kinds of things to keep you sick. Listen now. To keep you out of church. To keep you afraid of the presence of God, which is the only thing that can help any of us.
Right. Amen.
How about I say what the prophet said? He said, you might call cancer cancer or something else. I'm here to tell you what it is. It's a devil.
Right.
And these people get on and say, well, you don't need to say that. Maybe they're suffering for this reason or that reason. That's all fine. But I'm here to tell you, the church of the living God ain't supposed to be dwelling around groveling in sickness and pain and torments.
Right.
We're supposed to be serving the Lord with all the blessings from heaven.
Yeah.
I didn't say you're totally free from sickness, but what's your attitude about it?
Right.
Say, well, God gave me this thorn in the... You better hope you actually did and you ain't spreading around some lie to everyone else.
Right.
He can still do that. I understand. But look at Paul's approach. I don't know why I'm going this way. Look at Paul's approach. He said, I sought the Lord thrice to take this away. And he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ face to face. And he knew that voice. He had met it back when he first got converted. You need to learn what voice you're listening to. And if you've never heard his voice the first time, you're going to be pulled away with every wind of doctrine. What'd you go to see? When you went to find a prophet, what did you go to see? A man shaken with every wind? A man that would be twisted around with every doctrine? A man that would preach according to your feelings and your interpretations? Come on now.
Amen.
Or did you want somebody that stayed with the Word regardless?
Amen.
That's what they found in John the Baptist.
Yes.
That's right. He said there ain't been a greater man on earth besides him.
Amen.
But I tell you, the least in the kingdom of heaven is still greater than he is. Why? Because we could receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Paul sought the Lord thrice that he would take that thorn away from him. And he had a meeting with the Lord, and the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Follow thou me. Where do you hear Paul complaining about it later on? And that's where I see, that's where you tell me God gave you a sickness to humble you. First, I want to know what revelations you have. What third heavens you have gone to that God had to humble you. I don't want to get too far, but I believe part of it is because he was a messenger to the first age. You might not believe that. That's all right. I believe Brother Branham had that stomach ache. He was a messenger to this age. God's allowed to do what he wants to, but too many times I can tell it's just unbelief. People think that they can hide these things from a true servant of God. I have the anointing that abides. So do you now. I ain't taking it away from you. I ain't Nicolaitan either. But if I've got the Holy Ghost, the Bible that we just read, so there's an anointing that abides with me, and you know all things. That's the knowledge of God. It's not intellect. It's not mental prowess where you just are so much smarter than everyone else. We preach on the nine spiritual gifts, and I tell you what, the only one anybody ever claims to have is knowledge. And they don't even know the first thing about the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge has nothing with you being able to quote a scripture off your mind.
Right.
Or quote a quote off your mind. Or you put this and this together and you got your 20-page PowerPoint on how, you know, this is the way it's going to be, and this is how the seventh seal is really opened, and this is the way the coming of the Lord is going to be, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And I don't want to totally throw that under the bus. You know, we've got people looking at blood moons and things like that. And I believe those are signs. I'm not trying to downplay that. But let's back the train a little bit. There's already a vindicated prophet that stood up and turned his back and said, this is the last sign you're going to see. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. Write it in your Bible. If you see a greater sign than this, call me a false prophet. That's the knowledge of God. Is when the world is looking for this, be careful, Christian friend. Don't you get wrapped up in that. It might even be a sign for the Jews, but it ain't for us. We've already received our sign. We received the Gentile sign. Discernments of the thoughts and intents of the heart when he called out souls without even looking. Just as Melchizedek did thousands of years ago. The same Melchizedek and got into a prophet and did the same thing.
Amen.
Don't you get wrapped up in those signs, because the day they think it's coming, they'll miss it.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody will be in church today.
Sure.
Even the denomination's got that revelation. How many drove down the road and like, my goodness, what are all them cars doing out there? It's Easter morning.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, you might take this the wrong way, but I don't think he's going to come on the world's Easter. He'll come on when he determines Easter is.
Amen.
And it will be a day you think not.
That's right.
He didn't just say that to the sinner. He said that to you and I. Yes. Why? Because we're not trying to build our knowledge. We want to build this knowledge.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't need to know it. I will know it when it gets here.
Amen.
What did they asked Peter, or they asked Jesus, I think it was Peter asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? And he said, it's in the Father's hand for the time and seasons.
Sure.
Don't worry about that. Follow thou me.
Amen.
Not us. There's a Trinity out the window. Not this church. Not this denomination I've set up. Not this pastor that I believe's got it all and nobody else has got nothing. No, follow me. Follow me, the Word of God. Follow me. Not just the Word on page, but the Word that lives.
Yeah.
A Word that when it's spoken, it happens that way. That's the knowledge of God I'm trying to get us to today. That when God's knowledge is in us, it will produce the same God.
Exactly.
Never even read Hosea. Here we go. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. For thy people are they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. What was he rebuking them for? It wasn't because they didn't figure out enough about the Scriptures. So we've got to get away from that as what we think of as knowledge. Knowledge has nothing to do with your ability to think and to reason and to figure out and to comprehend and to be smarter than someone else. That's what the devil did in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, amen.
The knowledge that God was looking for was him.
Amen.
Was to know him, as we said here last service, to know Christ. Him is life. You have to know him as a person. He said there's a lack of knowledge. Why? They're still going to church. They're still trying to pay tithes. And they're out in the streets killing one another and justifying it somehow. Stealing from one another and saying it's all right. Because, you know, as the son, you know, Jesus said, you say, yeah, a son ought to honor their father and mother, but whatever the son says that he might profit their father and mother, he's allowed to disrespect them. He says, by your traditions, you made the commandment of God of none effect.
Amen.
And God found his Israelite church, which I believe they were the called out of that age. He found them in the condition that it foresaw what it would be in Laodicea. He said they'd run the earth to and fro because there was no knowledge of God. They didn't know where to go. So they'd hear some wind of doctrine said, he's out in the desert, go find him. And the masses would fly out to there. And we might even got wrapped up in some of that.
Sure, sure.
You say, how is that? He's over here in the thunders and nobody else has got anything. You better follow this, brother, because there's where Christ is. Woo! Come on now. And the Bible already told you. He's not over there.
Amen.
Quit going. He's not in the desert place. When the Son of Man cometh. And we used to think that that was a thing of the coming of the Lord. It's already here. The Son of Man has come. You want to see it? It's video recorded twice. Unless you really believe that there's men that are gods on earth. Come on now. Only those that are part of God. They're not separate. They're not a new life. It's the same God standing there.
Amen.
I love watching the prophet of God. I don't know. Yeah, that, people might think that's sacrilegious, but I don't care. The Bible said he was sending me Malachi 4.
Amen.
And I ain't going to exalt him above measure, but my, where would we be without a man? Look, he didn't have to preach this just as much as Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to stay with them. He could have compromised. Remember, he could have even compromised on his convictions. We preach. I just preach him by the Lord. He's just, I love him. You love him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When he had that man and he brought up, I believe, a Trinitarian and put him up on the pulpit. And the oneness people that were sponsoring him said, they pulled him aside and said, Brother Branham, you put a Trinitarian man on the pulpit. He said, that man's got the Holy Ghost. And I believe it's dispensational now, all right? You understand? That was back in the 50s. God winked at ignorance, but now the seals are open. So it's kind of hard to say you see and you're blind, okay? You either see by the Holy Ghost or you don't see nothing. You either have the knowledge of God or you didn't. That's right. And but God's prophet could see that man was serving God right, just maybe didn't have quite the revelation, but he was just as much off as them other people were. Don't you go being a oneness now. They don't believe the Scriptures now. They're not looking for God to come the way He said He would because they believe all of God is in Jesus, just the man that's on the right hand of the Father and ain't no God here.
Right.
Come on, that's the way they look at it. He's all of God. No, He's in me. He's in you. See, oneness or Trinitarian doctrine pulls the bride out of the Godhead.
Amen.
That's why God came and sent a message to drive all that nonsense out and say, no, she was there.
Amen.
She was there from the foundation of the world. Brother Branham has that Trinitarian man come up there, and they came and had a private conference with Brother Branham. He talks about it on tape. You can go find this. He said, Brother Branham, you know, we can't be allowing that. He's like, well, I don't know what to tell you, brothers, but I'm not going to, you know, make him get down or anything like that. I'm just paraphrasing now. And they said, well, Brother Branham, we're going to have to draw you out of our circle. Yeah. Well, I'll just do a little bit bigger for you. I'll just draw you right on back in.
Hallelujah.
People always blaming others for what they're doing. Brother Branham couldn't help that they would kick him out of their circle, but he didn't have to kick those brothers out of his circle.
Amen.
You always can control your half of a situation.
That's right.
And that's where we get in trouble, acting like, oh, I can't do it because that brother did this and that. Peter said, how many times do I forgive my brother?
Right.
Seven? That's pretty good doctrine. Seven times, right? Most of us can't get to one.
Right.
So we say, if you really repented, why'd you do it again?
Sure.
If you really serve God like you ought to, why are you repenting for the same thing every other day?
Right.
That's right, brother, sister. See, that's the knowledge of God. That's what he's saying. Grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God. See, our faith in God, as it begins to build, as we begin to believe the Word, it'll produce virtue. It'll give you a virtuous life. It'll get women to clean up. It'll get men to clean up. It'll give you have strength to take on temptation and trial and all those things. But then that virtue, if you're not careful, it'll spew off and go in all kinds of ways, and you'll be using it without a leading of the Lord. Listen to me now. Remember, the Bible does say, don't lay hands on no man suddenly unless you be partakers of his sins. Why? Because it's time to build that faith up a little bit more to where we know what God wants done with His Word.
Amen.
How can I do that? By taking my mind and literally throwing it in that trash can over there and say, Lord, I have no thought of my own. What does Your Word say? And many Christians, they struggle with this because they think that it's some complicated thing, yet you're led of the Spirit so many times to do the simplest stuff.
Amen.
All you have to do to really help you out, I think it will, brother, sister, is go back to when you sinner, and then let that situation hit you that way. and say, what would I have done? And then realize that what you're wanting to do now is not that. And realize, maybe it's the Holy Spirit that made this change. That's right, brother, sister. It's that simple. Never get away from the simplicity of God.
Amen.
When Brother Branham preached the seals, what did he open it up with? God hidden and revealed in simplicity. When I got the revelation of what the seven seals was, and I'll say that wasn't day one, and it wasn't no man teaching me, it was the anointing came and taught me what it was, and it just opened up to me. And it's just as plain as day. But I can see now when Brother Branham went to preach the seventh seal, he couldn't say it. Why? Because it would have disappointed all of them. That's it. That's all the deeper it is. Yeah. That's it. But it made the whole Bible a brand new book. You know, you think, why? I mean, I believe serpent seed, it makes sense. But what does that mean to me? Why did God have to restore that through this prophet? And then the seals opened up and he said, oh, that's right. I better know that I'm a seed of God. And that's the knowledge we're trying to build up today. All right, maybe I'll preach or teach for a little while. Identified Christ in all ages. I read this on Friday. I'm actually going to take some things from Friday. So those of you that were here, God bless you. You get a double portion. When a man is in the presence of God, then he knows something. Can we just stop there? You try to act without the presence of God, you know nothing as you ought. You need that we come back and teach you the oracles of God, or back to the foundation again of how to get saved and a righteous judge. It's Hebrews 6. If you don't. But he said, let's go on to perfection.
Right.
Let's
right.
go beyond to being the Christians that we ought to be. When you're in the presence of God, then you know something. He knows something. No, he can't learn it in books. You can't learn God by books. Education take, you say, he is a DDD, PhD. That just takes him that much farther from God to me. You don't know God by education. You know God by faith. And you believe Him. That's how you know God.
Amen.
Brother Branham, he's preaching the stature of a perfect man. And as I've hit it time and time again. Brother Branham, every time he tries to say something, he keeps coming back to make sure you're born again. Make sure you're born again. Because you can keep feeling that kickback that people think, oh, I've got to build up and then I'll get good enough and then God will make me born again. And he kept saying, no, that ain't nothing to do with this. That has nothing to do with this stature of perfect man. It ain't getting to where you're finally converted. And some of you might have been taught that. Some of you might hardly halfway still believe that. But God help us to realize that God wasn't expecting anything out of us to get born again. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The same man that said that is the one that wrote 2 Peter.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So if that's really how you get the Holy Ghost, why didn't he tell him that then? When he had the keys in his hands and he was unlocking the gospel. You didn't see him add virtue, knowledge, temperance, but he didn't say anything about that. Why? Because he was just getting them to first base. Get alive. Get born again. Get the Holy Ghost in you. Even in 2 Peter there, now maybe I'm feeling what the prophet did. You can't hardly go on until you get this established just right. How many believes the Holy Spirit's here today?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter. He says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Verse 3, according as his divine power. Okay, so if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how do you have divine power? Is there another Holy Spirit that's got divine power that you have that isn't the one God is? No, you either have divine power or you don't have divine power. Divine means God.
Amen.
Amen. So these are to people who have divine power. He's given unto us all things. So if you're still trying to go get something from God, you've got the wrong interpretation. God has already put it in you.
Amen.
And actually, he did that before you asked. But then you asked for the Holy Ghost. What did it begin to do? It began to quicken all that life that was in there, just like a seed went out there, and it begins to produce things that you never knew were in there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's his divine power that he's given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how to live and how to be like God.
Amen.
How? Through the knowledge of him. Through knowing who Christ is. That's why God had to send the prophet to bring back the revelation of who God is. Because without that, you can't even get to first base. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So He's given us divine power to produce the divine nature.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it makes sense now how every age could have the Holy Ghost, yet not manifest what God has required for this age. Why? Because that's all that was built up yet. There was nothing else to manifest to because the Word hadn't been fully restored. And if you begin to watch these ages, this is not a coincidence. There's a reason the prophet felt led to put this on here just the way he did. And it ain't for you and me to figure out. It's for us to believe.
Amen.
Sure. Hallelujah. And began to build up, and that's what they could manifest. But in this age, that's the difference. This has all been restored.
Amen.
And for you to say you've got the Holy Ghost and it doesn't produce all divine love, it ought to produce the same God that saw Adam and Eve when they deserved to die take His own power. As Brother Bram said, a big cyclone of a four-letter word. Bring it right down. What was it? L-O-V-E. And He found some lambs and He slew them and He took the skins and put it on them. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
He could have just condemned them. But the same God that did that is now in us today. What's holding back the judgment of God? If you can get your faith in the right channel where it ought to be and be built up the way you ought to be,
amen,
you'll know that you're the only reason it hasn't hit yet.
Amen.
You say, Ma, that's a mighty proud thing to say. I got a mighty God I'm pretty proud of.
Amen.
God has no hands but you and I, brother, sister, in this age. God is waiting for the bride to manifest who He is.
Amen.
And we only can do that by the knowledge of God, by believing what He said. Amen.
Sure.
Exceeding, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you're telling me a man can get out of the corruption of the world but not have the God in him to keep him out of the corruption of the world. How do you pull that one off? You say Judas was justified. Yes, he was. He was sanctified. Yes, he was. But he never got away from the corruption of the world. Why? It was still in his heart. To where the Word was looking him in the face. The Word called him friend. And he still betrayed it. For what? A month's wage, 2 months' wage, whatever, for a sum of money. Why? He had never escaped the corruption of the world through lust. But not you and I. We have. When God gave the Holy Ghost, first four verses were fulfilled in us. That's right. Now let's read verse 5 and make sure we get a revelation. Say, God, open my understanding today. And besides this... Those are the most beautiful three words right now I could say. Besides this. So this is all established. This is the foundation that God is saying has been laid and no man can add to it. But what was already laid? What was it? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was laid in my heart. He was quick in there and I have a base to build upon.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Besides this, giving all diligence. Diligence is talking about sincerity. Giving all of my heart to care about this. What am I to do? Let brother so-and-so know he's sinning and get him right with God. Show the pastor where he's wrong on this and that and the other thing and fix this up about the deacons and get this right. And this brother over here is messing up. I better go take care of that. Besides this, give all your diligence to this thing. Build up Christ in you. How? Through faith. Believing His precious promises, believing that God is going to have to show me this for it to ever manifest.
Right.
I can't do it of my own accord. I'm totally dependent on Him.
Amen.
But it is His promise.
That's right.
And He has ordained me to do it.
Yes, yes.
So I don't need to be afraid. I don't act like I can't do it. I'm already there.
Amen.
And as you walk in that faith, it will begin to produce these things.
Right.
What's the knowledge God is looking then for us? Here, let me read you what the prophet said. Statute of Prayer, man 62. The Word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says So, Christ being revealed in His Word, and if He watched over you when you transgress these law, He condemns you for it. How much more has He watched over His law that condemns you? Amen. Go on, boy, don't tell me that stuff. I believe in genuine Holy Ghost knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge will always punctuate the Word with amen.
Amen.
But isn't it this and that, and we need to study that and try this? It'll just say amen and move on. Glory to God. That just sets you free, really, as a Christian. It should. When you get these things that seem to contradict themselves in the Bible, and I'll say the same for the message, you get these things that seem to contradict themselves even in this message. Listen now. You sit down and study it, and prayerfully like that. See, that gets you out of the equation.
Right.
Amen. A lot of ministers think that you should just read and study, and that's how you get a sermon together. You ought to read and study, but if you're not praying, if you're not asking for revelation, you'll never say what God wants you to say.
Amen.
Because sometimes He'll inspire you to a thought 10 minutes before you get out here and tell you to put aside all the things you were thinking about for 3 days.
Amen.
But see, I've learned by the knowledge of the Holy Ghost that what He says to do is better than anything I could ever come up with.
Amen.
I didn't mean to go that long without going nowhere. I believe in genuine Holy Ghost knowledge. Let me skip down now. And the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit begins to move in. And after a while, you see it ties together. And there you got it. See? That's knowledge.
Amen.
Some of them say, well, now the Bible said that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church says, in a certain sense, He's the same. You done broke the gap right there. See, yes, sir. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference in Him at all. He lives in His church doing the same thing.
Amen.
A little while, as I quoted a while ago, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. For He said, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. Again, He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Again, He said, I'll be the vine, you'll be the branches, and the branch only lives by the life of the vine. Whatever is in the vine comes out through the branch. Glory. Then Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It produces the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowledge, not worldly. It reasons. Any kind of worldly knowledge reasons, see, but faith has no reasoning. God reveals to you a certain thing is going to happen. Every scientist in the world could tell you it's contrary. It could not happen. You believe it anyhow.
Amen.
And every preacher might come and say, yeah, it can't happen no more. And he might have a tag of message believer on him. But if God has revealed to you His Word,
amen.
You hold on.
Amen.
Don't let some other man's unbelief take your faith away.
Right.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You believe it anyhow. You see, yes, sir, it doesn't reason. The Bible said we cast down reasons.
Right.
Reasonings. You don't reason with faith. Faith has no reasoning. Faith knows where it's at. Faith acts. Faith holds on. It can't move. Nothing can move it. I don't care whatever says this, that, other. It doesn't move a bit. It stays right there. Wait. Don't make any difference. It stays right there.
Amen.
Let me skip down. Appreciate your patience this morning. You're going to be able to go a little bit longer.
Yes,
teaching this for a little while now. Knowledge, not worldly. Spiritual knowledge of the Word. Knowing what God said, do what God said. That's right. Then if you got that and can believe all these things, that He's the same in all these things the Word says is true, you punctuate everyone with an amen. It's all right. Add that to your faith.
Amen.
That's right. That's all right, yes. If somebody tries to tell you the Bible has lost its power, there's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't add that. It won't work. It'll fall off like putting clay on a rock. It won't stand up. it'll crumble. And that's what I believe the prophet of God was bringing this message to the church, was to stop adding things that are not in the Word.
That's right.
Stop trying to get worldly knowledge and reason on how you figured this out with that, and then realize that it doesn't live at all, and the end product only makes you, a Holy Ghost-filled person, condemned. It only makes you critical. It only makes you judgmental. It only makes you miserable.
Right, sure.
See, that's what we're really trying to get to. We're going to start judging things, having the knowledge of God the way the Word said to.
Amen. Right. Exactly.
What did Jesus say? By their fruits you know them.
Amen.
By the fruit of the doctrine you claim to believe, if that fruit is not the Word of God, you've missed it.
Amen.
You've missed it. I don't care how many quotes you put together.
Right.
I've seen a book this thick on the return ministry, how Brother Branham's coming back. 200-300 pages, something like that. Got it all figured out. Worldly knowledge. And then I ask, well, what is that doing for you, brother? Nothing. That ain't what the Bible says is supposed to happen. When the Bible said they'll cast out devils until the prophet leads, then they won't do anything until he gets back. That's what your doctrine just produced. Be careful, it don't get into you now.
Sure.
Well, I know the Holy Spirit only moves this way, this like this, and where'd the prophet say that? Well, he didn't really exactly say that. Well, then I don't exactly believe that.
Amen.
I believe in church order. I believe in doing things that, as Paul said, in decent and order, but I also believe that the Holy Ghost is what calls order.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost tells you to shout and run while I'm trying to preach, you go ahead. You say, well, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of... No, it's not. You show me. That's how they got the Holy Ghost when Peter preached.
Yes, sir.
He said, while I yet spake these words, I wasn't just quite done with my notes yet, but the Holy Ghost came down. And I wasn't... Who was I to stand in the way of God to say, wait a minute, they received the Holy Ghost like we did. But then, now listen, that's what I'm talking about, virtue. But you've got to add knowledge. Knowledge then of God came to him and said, wait, when I had the keys, I was told to tell him to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And that knowledge begins to move. I believe Peter was a prophet as well. Moved on Peter and said, wait, can we forbid these to be baptized? Well, the scripture cannot be broken. And he commanded them, go get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're not doing it to get the Holy Ghost. We're doing it to follow the Word that you might be a witness that you have gotten it.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
That was all fresh. And it feels just like a nice, fresh, juicy burger right off the grill. Man, that was good. Glory. Give me another one of those, Lord. Whew. Let's add that to our faith today. Let's add that kind of knowledge that, Lord, whatever you want to do is what we want to do.
Amen.
People a lot of times think that preachers just got it figured out. They just get back here and they just know how to do everything. They just always say the right things. They just always know when to do this and preach right down my life and when to call me out. And when to... He's just so smart. No. If you knew the battle of faith most ministers have to go through to ever even do anything.
Right.
You know, even to just encourage, let's worship, let's raise our hands and stuff. You have to be led of the Lord to say anything and do anything. Now look, you say, well, I don't know how that all goes, but what if it's in your hands?
Right.
How service gets ran. And I'm not just saying me. I mean, my dad's the same way. I appreciate it. As I said earlier, I wasn't just blowing hot air. There are very few song leaders that are half as sincere as my dad has been about it. He said, well, there's only 20 people here. We only sing 2 or 3 songs. That ain't. If you got that kind of attitude, don't be a song leader.
Right.
If you got that kind of attitude about church service, don't claim to be a Christian.
Right.
If you got the attitude that I'm here to contribute, I'm here to be a part of the service, I'm here to show what side I'm on.
Amen.
I'm here that wherever the word is, I'm giving my support. And I believe that is your tithe and your 10 prayers and all that. But more than all that, it's your heart.
Amen.
Lord, I just love that. I just love when I hear it preached. I just want to support it that'll spread to every soul I can get it to.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this, and most of y'all know this, God is his own interpreter. If you type in that phrase, and I caught this, I didn't know this before. Just God is his own interpreter. I had that thought come to me when I was speaking on the knowledge of God. And we're not here to figure out the word of God. God interprets it himself. It shows up 17 times that way. God is his own interpreter. All 17 were after the seals were opened. Why? Because the prophet preached the seals one time. Come on now. The prophet thought he knew who the white horse was. Go look, Mighty Conqueror, 1962. He preaches it right out of Revelations where it talks about the Antichrist, the mighty conqueror going through to conquer. But then he said, oh my. And we think he was just, again, he already knew it all and he was just blowing hot air and just trying to be humble. No, he said, I had it all wrong. He said, even, remember the one, I forget which seal it is, but he says, if the grace of our Lord, if he wouldn't have told me this morning, I would have had it all messed up. And anytime I start feeling tired, I remember what the prophet said. I think it's the sixth seal or the questions and answers. He said, I've about keeled over this pulpit three times. It's God's honest truth. And these people that say, well, we don't need to have that many services. I mean, we don't need to pray that long. I mean, that's just asking a lot out of people. Come on. And they'll say, well, Brother Branham took a month vacation. Yeah, you go preach for 11 of the months all year long. And tell me if you don't need a little time by yourself. Not just preaching to everybody that loves you and to all the churches that invited you, but going to people that hate you but have you just because they want to make money off you. Because they know you'll bring a big crowd. Those that'll get up and say, now when Brother Branham's under the discernment, he's a man of God, but when he starts teaching and things, don't you pay no attention to that. And you come out there and say, God bless our brother. Don't we sure appreciate him inviting us? That shows you this was built up in that man. Come on now. The knowledge of God was, God sent me here. I don't need to defend myself. This is the knowledge that we're trying to get to. We don't need to defend ourselves. He will defend us. God is his own interpreter. What shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? God don't need any interpreter. God is his own interpreter. That's what the trouble of it is. Today we've got too many man-made interpreters. God can interpret himself. And a lot of times people will say, okay, yeah, I agree with that. But what about Brother Branham? Why did he interpret God's word? He didn't. Let me prove it to you. Look what the prophet himself says interprets the word. God can interpret himself. His own vindication of his word is the interpretation. The Pharisees might have cried out too, we got the interpretation. The Sadducees said, we got it, but Jesus was the interpretation. Amen. The manifestation of God's revealed power promised is the interpretation. Or excuse me, is the vindication. That's right. Read the scriptures and see what the church is supposed to do today. Yes, sir. God don't need any interpreter. And don't you get offended when God sends his anointing to preach to us. This is what the bride is. Everything else you've heard or said is of the devil.
Amen.
This is what the bride is. She is without spot or wrinkle. This is the bride. The works that I do shall you do also. When the bride sees who she is, she will be an invincible army.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's what the voice said it was.
Amen.
That's what it is. I don't care what you believe.
Amen.
I don't care what I believe. The knowledge of God, the mind of Christ that I am letting get into my mind told me, believe this word.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You show me another man that's raised the dead, cast out devils, healed the sick, told everyone who their name was, answered questions before they were asked.
Sure.
And yet had enough character to love his enemies to where you couldn't tell who were his friends.
Amen.
See, that's the thing. You can't, as much as people think you're making an idol and things. I'm not doing that. But I have never met anyone, this guy as well, that has been able to do that on such a consistent basis. God help us. You caught yourself in a little white lie? And we just kind of blow over it and kind of... No. Brother Branham felt so bad he couldn't do anything. He wouldn't even pray for nobody until he got it right. Remember the one time he accidentally had something in his trunk that wasn't supposed to go across the border? I mean, it was a story.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Us would have said, well, they didn't catch it. No big deal. I'll just go on. He turned around and drove, I forget, hundreds of miles back. Not on a big, nice 70-mile-an-hour highway either. Back road, 50, I mean, was there 60, I think, at that time? Nothing faster than that. Drove it all the way back because of his conscience that I'm not worried about the knowledge of the government. I'm worried about the knowledge of God that told me to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and I have transgressed whether they saw it or not. God did.
Amen.
And I say the same thing. God help me. God help me, because it's very easy. Why? We begin to lose the knowledge of God and will reason. And say, God don't want me wasting all my time doing that. I got to get to these next meetings. I don't got time to drive all the way back and up.
Come on.
God wants me to get on that plane to these next services. What am I doing walking the... Hey, you all know the story. For 5 miles. Why? There was a little widow woman that needed her prayer. Maybe you're the little widow woman tonight or this afternoon. Why, Brother Andrew's preaching longer than he normally does, and I'm not done yet. I hope that's okay. I hope you're not getting offended and going to come kill me afterwards. He said, kill you? Well, if you speak against a man's reputation, you done went and killed him.
Right.
I'd much rather you stab me in the back than to speak against me without saying it to my face.
Right.
I've had very few. I've had, using some Holy Ghost knowledge, let's just back it up. The manifestation of God's revealed power promised is the vindication. Read the scriptures and see what the church is supposed to be today. Yes, sir. God don't need any interpreter. That's the way they done to Jesus. They found out back there that they thought he didn't have the interpretation. He was the interpretation. God didn't have to interpret it. Jesus' life interpreted. And we just read it earlier that the church is to have the same life of Jesus Christ. So as we try to have all these doctrinal debates with these reprobate souls that have already cast themselves out of eternal life. People don't like that kind of preaching, but I'm here to tell you, if you look this word in the eyes and call it the devil and say, well, I just don't understand, it's the devil, I'm going this way. There's no room in the scriptures for you to come back. It's one thing to just get confused. It's one thing to not totally understand. It's one thing to say, I just can't live it. I just can't do it. And go off and say, I'm going to live in the world and I'm going to do this or that. But God knows your heart when you blaspheme, because you're not turning down, Brother Branham. You're not turning down that message, church, that was a bunch of meanies to you. You're turning down Him. Let's wrap it up here. John 10. St. John chapter 10. Appreciate your patience this morning. John 10, let's go down to verse 19. Got a little bit I'd like to read here. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, they say, Lord, Lord, we've done these mighty works. Yeah, but it wasn't them doing it. It was the Holy Spirit. That's right. It had nothing to do with their soul behind that. That's why Brother Branham said you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life. Where? On your spirit, on your flesh, and still go straight to hell. It's got to get into a life, down into your soul to where you become the Word.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And many Christians, so-called, do the same thing. They say, why are you talking around in circles? Why are you making this so hard? We want to go serve a simple Jesus. You just got too complicated in this message. Well, how's that any different than what they were telling him? How long are you making us doubt? Tell us plainly if you be the Christ or not. Tell us plainly if you're really Malachi 4 and what we ought to do. And I'm just going to praise the Lord anyhow. It don't matter how quiet it gets, it's still the Word. Jesus answered them, I told you. Who gets to decide what is right and wrong? Their interpretation was, you're not being plain. Their interpretation is, you're trying to confuse us. And we know that the Bible says God is not an author of confusion, so we know that you're wrong and the possessed of the devil. God interprets His Word. Jesus said, I told you. But how did He tell them? The way that God decided would be to be the way they were told. I told you and you believed not. How did He tell them? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. There are the signs that you're supposed to be looking at saying, this must be the Christ. And there were a few people who caught that. There were a few people. Remember the woman at the well? She had her heart discerned and said, you know, and what she said, this is the prophet. This is the prophet. Are you that prophet, or are we looking for the Messiah? When the Messiah comes, he'll do these things. See, somebody heard it because Jesus was saying it. I'm the Messiah. But they wanted it nice in words and nice in black, but that isn't how He did it. He discerned her heart. And something on her began to light up and says, that's the Messiah. He said, Lord, who is He? I'll go worship Him, right? He said, He that speaks to you is He. That's all she needed. Nathaniel was the same way, wasn't he? He was over there just, you know, under the fig tree and stuff and says, oh, come on. Philip, I believe, came to him and says, we found a Messiah. He said, oh, come on. In Nazareth, that church, that preacher, he's only been in the message 5 years. He ain't got nothing. We go over here in our nice established denomination. He said, no, it's real. It's real. He gave him a good answer to, come and see. How about you come see for yourself, and then you judge it. And Nathaniel being a son of God on the inside, that was enough to respond to. All right, we'll try it out. And he went there. Before he got 2 cents in, he said, behold, an Israelite, in whom there's no guile. That deflated him right now, didn't it? Looked at that man and said, wait, what? How does he even know I'm an Israelite? And how does he know there's no guile on me? He said, well, see, Jesus was telling him He was the Messiah. He could have just said, I'm the Messiah. But instead He said, before Philip called you, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. See, he didn't start reasoning. He gained the knowledge of God. What was it? No man could do that. And he looked that man in the eye and said, you're the King of Israel. You're the Son of God. He said, you believe just for that? You're going to see a lot more than that.
Woo! Glory!
So Jesus was proclaiming, as many don't think He was. He was proclaiming, I'm the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he will get more plain here. He'll fulfill their heart's desire.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to come out the way they had hoped.
Right.
Let's finish the scripture. Mine. Jesus answered, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many. Look, and that's the thing. Look at the hypocrisy. Tell us if you're the Christ. Okay, I am. Why'd you want me to tell you if you're just going to stone me? You've been caught that way too, haven't you? What's this all about and everything? And then they come trying to prove you wrong and do it. And why'd you even ask in the first place? Why do you even care? If you don't care, you don't believe it, just go on. But they can't help it. Why? They're of their father, the devil. They're under the inspiration Cain was. He could not just let it go. He could not just go give the offering Abel did. His jealousy produced a murderer because it did it in his father. When Lucifer should have been content to be God's right-hand man and to be able to do everything but create, what he had in his heart, iniquity, he couldn't get over it. He had to be number one. And he produced a murderer. That same influence has moved down to where Jesus will even, we'll just keep reading here. Many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, because we know our doctrine's stupid anyways, and we probably should just shut up, but we can't seem to get around this, that we have to condemn you somehow. For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Yet you ask any Jew, what will the Messiah be? Will he be a man? And they all say, yes. So why is this not okay? And Jesus answers that question as well. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Why? Christ was basing his knowledge on the knowledge of God, Amen. That everything in the Word has to be right. And their doctrine did not allow for this, yet they were contradicting the very scriptures they said they believed. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. This is a man who knows where he's standing. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and he went again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Jesus says another time, he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. But now you don't know him, you don't know me. You've seen him, but you don't know him, and that's why you want to kill me. And the same thing has happened in our age right now. And I'll say the same thing. You say, Brother Andrew, I don't know if I believe you or not. You know, you say it about Brother Branham. I don't know if I believe Brother Branham or not. Well, then do what Jesus said. If you can't believe me, because you know my flaws, as any man would have to say. Now, Jesus didn't have any. He couldn't confess any sins. That's why they probably hated him as well. He didn't have any sin. He even asked them one time, show me where I sin. Would you be able to handle that? And these other men of God, said, fine, if you can't believe me, if I offend you too much just because of my name and my reproach, can you believe the works that no man could do the things that I've done? Nicodemus had enough revelation to grab that one. He said, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no man could do these things except God was with him. He was a little secret believer. I don't know if there's any grace for that man or not. Who knows? I'm not interested in foolish virgin and all these things, tribulation on. I want to be in the rapture.
Amen. Exactly.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are the ones that helped get Jesus buried. But that didn't get him resurrected. There's the difference. Is it honorable? Sure. Are there many people who are trying to serve God honorably and it's wonderful and everything, but they're not doing it according to knowledge and they will perish? What knowledge? The knowledge that God has told us to build. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Happy Easter this morning. Thank you, Lord. I so love mercy and grace. 302. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As Dad begins to play that softly, let's just change as the word's going forth now. Don't doubt God's word now. Don't doubt His promise. Let's focus on that great supernal one that's here now. Don't look to Brother Andrew. Oh, Jesus. Let's look at Him. And let's take that knowledge that He's given us, that we're the sons of God. That God has accepted us, that He's forgiven us, that He's washed us. So we read there, if you have a hard time believing me, who's the one that's healed the sick, and even right here in this building right now? I'm not preaching to a God that was 50 years ago and dead. He's still here now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who's discerning the hearts right in this place? Who's the one that's give word that's still coming to pass in this place? Was it me? Or is it the works of my Father? The works of the Father that's moved in you all here, that's had faith, that's got healed, that's asked for things out there and God's provided it. What caused that? What was the means to the end? What is God trying to point us to? That before there was a world, we dwell with Him. And He's gone through all these things in time to bring us back to that supreme fellowship with Him. Don't let anything get between you and God. Brother, mother, sister, cousin, children, church, pastor, doctrine, thoughts, all of that, can we lay it down today? And say, Lord, I believe You raised again 2,000 years ago, but You raised again in my heart. And I believe You live in me. And I'm so happy, Lord, that You're here. I want every door open, every window open to Your presence. Whatever You want to do in my life, if I need swept out and garnished and cleansed, Lord, just come on through me. Lord, if You find something out of place, I'm not here to keep Your hands off. Lord, get into my heart and just mold me. If I haven't had the right faith, if I haven't had the right virtue, if I haven't had the right knowledge, Lord, I give You the leeway. Come in and mold it the way You want it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, which they already are. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now appropriate your faith. Believe what you've heard today for yourself, brother. For yourself, sister. If you find yourself on the outside looking in, God have mercy on you today. Say, Lord, bring me back. Bring me back in the fold. I heard Your voice today, and the Scripture said, I'll follow You. And I'm yielding to that now. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Let's have another resurrection this morning in our souls. Lord, light my fire for You. That I don't need the pastor around. I don't need any man around. I know You're around, Lord, and I love You. And I want to serve You every moment or every day. I want to spend time in fellowship. God restore you, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a desire, I challenge your faith now to believe the knowledge of God, which already told us, the works that I did, you'll do also. Whatever you have need of, ask. Come unto Me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, I will do it. He didn't ask you to do it. He just asked you to ask, and He would do it. Do you need a fresh revival? Do you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost today? Well, receive it, brother, sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost began to fall on those as they yielded to God's presence, and they believed the word for themselves and say, though I'm a Gentile, though I don't understand it all, I believe this, Peter. And I receive it for myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel led to share this now. Stay in His presence. Stay believing. When we had communion here, I went over here to pray. And the Lord showed me His presence coming. You believe me today, I pray. If I found grace in your sight. The Lord Jesus came and He went to every one of us and put His hand on us. I watched Him go to every person that was here and put His hand on us. And as you fear and tremble, act like you're not accepted, I'm here to tell you that was just one more witness. He brought you back. You didn't take communion unworthily. You're His. He says, no man takes My life. I lay it down for the sheep. What we just read there, My Father's promise was that I'd get all of them back. No man can pluck them from My hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take all your unbelief now and let's raise our hands and say, Lord, take that unbelief. I'm raising it to the blood of Jesus. That it leaves me, Lord. It'll go to that blood. It'll destroy it all. And all that'll be left in me is You. Hallelujah. Brother, you failed Him. I failed Him too. Just repent. Come back. Be sincere. Give all diligence to this. And say, Lord, I want this image in me. I'm appropriating My faith that You promised to build this in me. And I'm yielding myself to it. Build it one stone at a time. One trial at a time. One temptation at a time. It's not a cakewalk, but oh my, it's the most glorious thing we've ever decided to do. is to walk for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how His presence comes so close. Now those thoughts that you begin to have as the Word comes through, I can't give it to you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you now. What's He telling you to do? He's challenging you to be led up by His Spirit. He's challenging you to be the bride and to know what He wants done with His Word. Glory to God. As it begins to show you stuff in your life, it says, take that out of your life. Get rid of it. Don't resist that. Don't think that is another thought. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. When He brings back a promise that you've believed for 10 years and lays it before you and says, believe it more than you ever have because it's coming. Take a hold of that, brother, sister. That's not a man doing that. That was Him. When God gives you those supernatural thoughts, it's because it's yours. He's giving it to you. He wants you to believe it. Oh, glory to God. In His divine presence now, thank you, Jesus. I just want to lay hands on those that have a desire and they'd like to have hands laid on them today. Would you come forward now? Praise God. Praise God. Believe the Word for yourself now. Glory, glory, glory. And as you approach Me, as Peter said, look on us. Not to look at Me as a man. It's not My holiness or righteousness that's going to do this. But look on us to focus on the anointing of Jesus Christ that is here now. I'm going to share you one more thing. Glory to God. One time I was having a Bible study. I've told this before. I was having a Bible study with a few students. And very similar to what I'm feeling now, the presence of God came there. We're sitting right there in the mall, just two of us and me. And all of a sudden the presence of God comes down. And I can't say anything. I'm wondering, Lord, what's going on? What do You want me to do? And I couldn't do anything. I just sat there. One of those young men looked at me so earnestly, which is, I believe, is what happened to Peter on that day when he told that man to rise in the name of Jesus Christ. He looked at me. And I didn't know what was going on. What was I doing? Trusting the knowledge of God. God, You sent me here. You told me to take no thought what I should say or speak, but it'll be given. You're not giving me anything to say, so I'm just going to sit here. The next day, the young man came to me. And he showed me. He told me. He said, I want you to tell you something that happened. When you said that, because I told him, the presence of God's here now. He said, when you said that, your face changed. He said, you know what we think of Jesus typically looking like? He said, your face changed to that. I said, well, there's nothing else I can say. He's shown Himself to you. Receive Him. And the same thing's happened right here. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? Are you coming to the God that said, come unto Me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls. If you'll come that way, you'll have your request today. For those of you that are still out there, believe in the Word, you don't have to come forward. I'm not condemning those that did it. God bless you today. But now you've received your request. Pray for these. We've got five souls up here that want hands laid on them. You don't need to tell me. Even little guys here, older, you don't need to tell me. There's no power in that. You need to tell Him. Ask. Be specific. Ask what you have need of. Even right now, before I lay hands on, say, Lord, I'm asking. You said I'd be healed when hands were laid on me. And I'm going to believe that. That the second Brother Andrew lays hands on me, even you little guys, you can understand this. When Brother Andrew lays hands on me, I'm believing that You're laying Your hands on me. And I have my request. Let's do that now. Get in that perfect faith. Believe all together that it's settled. And start thanking Him, brother, sister. The second the hands lay, start thanking Him. Say, Lord, thank You for my request today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Kent, receive your request. In the name of Jesus Christ, Justin, receive your request. In the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Noel, receive your request today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Rodney, receive your request today. Oh, glory to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Jason, receive your request today. Now start praising. Start thanking Him. Say, Lord, I accept and thank You for making me better.
Restoration, Lord Jesus, to take all the pain away. Lord, that they'll come to you and find peace, Lord Jesus, away from the games and things of the world that doesn't help anything. Bring them to you, Father, and heal them, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
This is like smoke, and I don't want him to do that.
It says that Lord, we pray for Brother Gage as well. Help him, Lord, to find you would be able to lay these cigarettes down and lay down this foulness.
My mom
Jesus.
Doesn't do that. Mom doesn't do that.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you see him now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship, church. Let's just unload our hearts on him. Just Don't hold back anymore. Don't get religious. Just start loving on him. Say, Lord, I appreciate you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking on your face. It's so beautiful, Lord. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory.
I saw love.
Spirit all around this place.
I saw love, mercy.
Even back in the nursery, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good.
I envision His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love.
Let's sing it together, every hand raised, no music, just one time.
I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I envision His beauty, I looked on His face, I saw love, mercy, and grace.
Just lift your voices, praise His name. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is why we came to church. We came to worship. We came to give our praises to Him. Praise Him on the high cymbals. Praise Him on the low cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But don't forget, praise ye the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise be to God. Yield yourself to the Spirit that's here now. God has always vindicated His Word. Even when those come and try to fight the Word, every time the Holy Spirit stood right here and vindicated that this word is right. God will bankrupt heaven before he lets one word fail. You've appropriated faith. You've believed him. Nothing can take it from you, brother, sister. We sing, all hail, sing King. All hail King. Worship him now, Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus.
He's the
King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise him. And forevermore. Service ain't over just yet. Let's lift our voices. Let's lift our hearts. Let's believe God. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that bright morn. And he's shining today. Glory to God. Glory.
And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise him.
And I'm starting now, Lord.
And forevermore,
as we sing it again. Hallelujah, lift your souls.
All hail King.
Just wave your life before him.
All hail Emmanuel. Oh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, all the primal heart.
Glory to God, hallelujah.
And through,
thank you, Jesus.
Eternity,
just worship him now.
I'm going to praise him.
Oh, hallelujah.
And forevermore,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you received the knowledge of the resurrection today? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I'm he that was dead, but is alive forevermore. And have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Oh, don't be discouraged, Christian. Don't be discouraged, brother, sister. Just give him praise today. Just thank his holy name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd rather have this than riches or gold or that thousands and millions of church members. I'd rather have this presence right here than anything this world could ever offer me. I'd rather have this assurance in my heart that come all hail to earth, nothing will stop me from going up in a resurrection.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Dad, just worship for a little bit. Don't worry about that just yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't be carnally minded now. Don't think what Brother Andrew doing. The Holy Spirit's waving his sheaf again right here in this place. He did it through a prophet, but I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's waving the life of God before you again.
Oh, Jesus, Father.
That what you've been searching for is here.
Hallelujah.
What you've longed for, brother, sister, it's here.
Jesus.
Oh, glory. Glory.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise
you, Jesus. Oh, there's such a settling of His presence.
Hallelujah.
Let every black thing go, brother, sister. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold. Let it go. Let it go. Say, God, you take it. And faith arise. Let it begin to build up to where you can shout praises free of condemnation, free of from sin and doubt, free from worrying about other things and what's going to happen tomorrow and how am I ever overcome this. It's done. Let faith arise.
Jesus.
That when God said on the cross, it is finished. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless our little brother, Lord. Thank you for his patience.
Praise
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't be that one. You feel that little bit of doubt. Let it go. Let it go. God is not wanting you to doubt. Don't. That's not humility. Humility is, Lord, I believe it all. I believe it for myself. I'm not sick today. I feel great. I'm not lost today. I'm redeemed.
Hallelujah.
I'm not empty. I'm full to overflowing.
Oh, yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Glory!
Thank you.
And as long as I've got breath, I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's freedom. That's deliverance. That's believing. That's the only thing that'll ever help you.
Hallelujah.
Father. He's not a spook out there on the water. That's the Savior. And He says, come. How do I walk on water? Just do it the way He is. Come unto Him. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God in the highest. Oh, praise you. Praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together a second. Lord, we thank you for being here. We thank you for fulfilling your word in this place. We thank you for setting souls free as I've watched the Holy Spirit just go right down lives and begin to pull all those things out, doing what no man can do. Lord, I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for helping the children of God, for speaking your word when I didn't know what to say. The knowledge of God has come to this service. And it's shown us, Lord, who we are. Oh, glory to God. Let each one, Lord, now, as we prepare to depart, though we might leave this building, may we not leave the God that's in this building now. Lord, prepare those children for the devil that might come and try to snatch this seed away. May it just root deep down in that good ground of their heart and bring forth much fruit in their lives. When the devil would come and say, you ain't free, may faith of the knowledge of God begin to rise and say, he that the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. And let they go on in faith, believing the word for themselves, for their families, for their loved ones, for their healing, for peace in their souls, all the things that they've asked for right here in this service that you've made known right here. Lord, may they have that assurance that you've answered all those things. May the devil never be able to take it away. I pray this prayer of faith with their faith as we believe you, Lord. In the name above every name we ask it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. Feel free to worship him. Feel free to praise him for a little while on this Easter morning, this resurrection day. I'm going to hand the service to Dad. Oh, he's just all around. If you still got a need, just reach out and grab it today. Oh, he's just here. God bless you, saints. I love you. Walk in faith. Walk in virtue. Walk in knowledge. And walk in the love of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. You can be dismissed in the name of God. Go ahead, Dad. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This
This is like heaven to me.
Thank you, Lord.
I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me.
God bless.